So welcome to our Practice Accelerator training call. I think this is like the fourth one for this year out of five. And I was stuck with what you really needed the most in terms of training. So I had all kinds of ideas in mind. And then I was like, well, we did one on this and we did one on that and we did one. And so I thought what we'd do is start with, what is it that you need? And I really want to gather some topics for coming up, but also most topics I can on the fly, we can talk about and can give individualized training on particular topics. So I'd love to hear what is it that you feel like, you know, you need the most training in terms of, you know, the business aspect of growing your business.
Oops. Not me. For me, I think it would be helpful for me to do a signature talk.
Okay.
'Cause it's fairly easy for me to do an educational session, but a signature talk is what I think will help me most.
Okay.
And it may be on there somewhere, but I just think that's
sort of, but I think we can customize it a little bit more, you know, as opposed to me just standing up with PowerPoint and teaching. We could actually take, I really like the training calls where we go through a process. Okay, here's step one, let's do it. Here's step two, let's do it. I did this for the IRSPT bonus call the other day, and it was like a 4-hour thing on, it was just really kind of, it was kind of generic the way it was laid out, but the way I went through it is I had like four things I wanted to teach them and take them through. It was very helpful for each person to actually, you know, here's how you do this. Let's take a couple of minutes and let's go through and you know, critique and improve. So I like the idea of signature talk, and there's a lot of nuances that go with that. So that's good. Anything else?
Can I butt in for a minute?
Oh, yeah, of course. You're not butting in. I'm asking for
Valerie gave a talk on our group call last week that was amazing. It was like 30 minutes on stress. I've encouraged her to make that her talk to ERC. It was very good. It was fun. It was light. It still got the point across. And she got real good feedback from our group members.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, and a signature talk needs to be, so we can talk about if that could be a signature talk topic, because a signature talk is something that, like, it defines who you are out there. And you can have it lead to wherever you want based on who the audience is, but it's something that really, you know, it's basically you, and it comprises what you believe, what your mission is, what your values are, what you stand for, and then what can lead to whatever services you offer. So I like that. Thank you for that feedback. I'm not surprised.
she was very comfortable, or at least you appear to be. It was, you know, it was like just, you know, a couple of friends sitting around a room sharing, and it was a very comfortable setting. And she did it really well. And she kind of had, you know, a humor theme running through it in the background. The Star Trek references, which some people got and some people didn't, you could tell. And then Valerie and I each shared that we each had done a Star Trek convention back in the day.
See, that stuff would probably go over my head. Captain Kirk, that's about all. Stop with the ears.
But
a little Star Trek though, device.
That's right. But even though that was kind of her background theme, it worked real well with the stress piece and how she delivered it. And she was done so smoothly, you would have thought she'd done it many, many, many times.
Oh, beautiful.
It was really well done.
Awesome. Cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, it's true.
So signature talk, I love that. I love that.
You're
because
welcome.
I love that, you know, when you can get something that you do feel comfortable, like if you come up with a talk and somebody gives you ideas and then you like fudging around with it and it doesn't, you know, you don't have as much creativity And then people don't really get to know the real authentic you. And that's really with a signature talk. That's the point, right? We want people to get to know who we are, what we stand for, and how we can help them.
Okay.
Right. And you want it to be able to be versatile enough to be able to adjust to whatever, you know, length of time. First of all, is it a 10-minute talk? Is it a 2-hour talk that you can expand and contract it? But then whatever kind of audience, you know, is it a church group? Is it a, you know, a huge auditorium full? Or is it a group of people who are trying to solve their digestive problems, or somebody that's trying to solve their hormone problems? And I think with a signature talk that's really authentic, you could probably just tweak here and there. Okay. And make it fit whatever group. So we can go through that. I love that topic too.
Okay, cool.
What about you, Annette? Is there anything in particular you like?
Yeah, in particular, no. There's a lot of
okay, what are some things? Because you're always looking for more education.
Yes, she is.
I'm always looking for what?
You're always looking for more education.
I know. I need to stop that. Because I signed up for TR's thing. So yeah, I need to stop always having to have the next shiny thing.
Yeah, you just don't want to miss out. She has FOMO big time.
But I have gotten really good at, like, I keep getting, I'm like, no, 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 I've committed to these things here and these things. So I am getting better at saying no.
Yeah, and you know, as discerning, it needs to be discerning as to what really is drawing you. Like, yes, this is my next step. This is what I need to do next.
Yeah, and I felt that with TR. Mm-hmm. So I was the first. I was there for a while. I was the only person with my hand up in the room. So it's I got a. There's still just a lot of moving pieces. My old website came down. If the new one will start being worked on and go up. And it's going to have a lot more support, like to feed in. When I get my program done, they'll put it on the site. And it's set up to put, you know, payment plans and all that.
Yeah.
So that's going to make doing the webinar and the program easier, because it's just all that stuff will be there.
Good. Perfect. Are either of you interested in, and this wouldn't be for today, but I mean, for this was a request that one other member had for books, like how to, a couple of things with books, how to either write your signature book but also how do you position it out there? Like, how do you get it to, you know, the publishing versus self-publishing versus getting a publisher, Kindle versus, you know, CreateSpace versus whatever the other options are for getting them out there, and how do you actually get something to be a bestseller on Kindle?
CreateSpace is gone.
Oh, I know. It's just something else. So I said, or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's Kindle.
Something else.
KDP now. It's part of Amazon.
KDP, yeah. Which makes it easier.
I would like that as well.
With the books, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to do that. I'm probably going to look at that being like, you know, probably after the first of the year, because I really want to gather all the stuff I've been gathering over the last few years. And then from my experience with getting a bestseller status, but then not doing anything with it after that, all the mistakes I've made. And then some of the stuff that, like, JJ Virgin says with, you know, if you do get a book out and it is a published book, or you do it on Kindle, it doesn't matter, but every quarter to do a recipe guide to go with it, or some kind of small book to go with it. Because what she found for herself was that she got her book out, and then within days, somebody had come up with the recipe guide for it and made it almost identical to her branding. And then they were selling like a ton of copies of this recipe guide to go with her book.
Wow.
And she's always like, oh my God, I should have done that. I mean, okay. Right? So things like that. And I'm thinking about that too, for my Unstoppable book, which 3 years ago was a bestseller. And then I never, when I got it in paperback, I never did what I was supposed to do because I was too busy and on to something else. But how do you do that? And creating, like, I have like all these recipe guides. I can take my breakfast recipe book, tweak it up and say, okay, now we have the Unstoppable Health Breakfast Collection, the Unstoppable Health Lunch Collection, the Unstoppable Health Dessert Collection, and just take old stuff that's sitting on the shelf, rebrand it, tweak it up a bit, you know, add some new recipes and throw it out there. And there's easy things that all of us could do, especially if we have, you know, collections of things, whether it's recipes or techniques or, you know, other things like that, to make a series. Because she talks about how people love to complete series. They love to complete collections. So you put out there, you know, and you have this, oh, complete the collection, you know, for just an extra $20 today, you can complete the collection. And then it'd be all over that, right? I can't be missing this
thing. It would depend on whose collection it was.
It depends on what?
It would depend on whose collection. When I was younger, it was Nancy Drew books.
Yeah. I'm like you too, because it's like when I was homeschooling the kids, I'd find one thing and then it'd be like, oh, I got to get all of these. And then I'd never use any of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had to have the collection. I mean, that's why my house is overrun with books. But anyway, those kinds of things can be used, because especially if you're going to give them, you know, for an extra $20 today is nothing. Like, oh yeah, $20, I get to complete the collection. But for you, that $20 accumulated over the course of hundreds of people buying it, it's a nice little chunk of change for you, you know? So little strategies like that. So I want to do, I'll definitely do that. Like, that'll be our first training in the new year.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. And all the strategies and all the things we can do related to books. Okay. So you want to dig into signature talk today? Is that?
Sure. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So a couple of things. You know, for signature talk, you want to think about, first of all, you want to just sit with, who am I? What do I want to get known for? So, Valerie, what do you want to get known for?
Releasing health. Is that too broad?
Releasing health. Talk about that concept.
So, because we have the innate ability in our bodies to reach our optimal level of health, and just helping people to be aware what's inside of them and what they can do to enhance, whether it be a physical, emotional, or spiritual issue. For example, if they're having digestive challenges, looking at where they are and seeing where the deficits are, and helping them to know that you can make these modifications and start to experience better digestion.
I like the term releasing health, because I don't think people are using it, right? Achieving health, people talk about all kinds of things. But releasing health really resonates with me, because it's like, it's this thing that's locked up inside, which is, right? Because the way that being locked up inside is from these bad habits. You know, I kind of look at it with the boulder and the obstacles, and you can come up with your own little, I mean, I could see some really cool graphic, right, of beautiful, vibrant health and this like chain around with a lock on it, and your goal is to break free from the habits, the lifestyle, the environment, and all the things that are holding you back. I like it as the name of a talk, and I think that a subtitle that would talk about that innate health that we all have within us, and letting it, you know, setting it free.
Okay.
You know, getting free of the bonds of day-to-day life or whatever. But I think that could be a good topic, because especially with coming up with a good outline of all the things you want to talk to, and then it could be like, oh, can I do a 10-minute talk on releasing health? Sure, you could do that. Can I do a 45-minute talk? Could I do a 3-day workshop on it?
I could do that.
You could do that?
No, I could, really. And I've actually been thinking, what happened to my picture? And actually, I've been thinking about that and planning for this huge, well, I won't say, I'll say huge. I'm going to be positive. This huge participation of leadership in churches, because that's what I have right now. Because in my experience and in my observation, the health doesn't appear to be there. It's a lot of stress, a lot of unhealthy, not my choice of eating habits. And as a leader, we project out into our audience. And if that projection is there, it kind of nullifies what your message you're trying to impact someone with. So I've been working on planning a little conference, for lack of a better words, to go through the stages of spirit, body, and soul, and make that all a health, like do three different sessions and pull it all together.
As you were speaking, I just had this vision of you, don't mean I want to narrow you down to just that, but I could see you being a leader of church leaders, right? Someone who's going in there and, you know, people are, you're into the spiritual and everybody God given, but God gave you the body too. And why the hell are you abusing it? Right.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take care of your body the same way you're going to take care of your soul. And, you know, God wants you to take care of that, and also teach people how to take care of that, because we're here on this earthly plane and we want to, you know, respect and care for. So I can just see you, you know, a conference of church leaders. Is that what you were thinking about?
Like yes. Yes. Yeah. I already have, and I know I would tweak it for different audiences, but I have a title, The Anatomy of the Body of Christ in the Word, which, because I like acronyms, word is weapon to overcome and receive deliverance. And the weapon is knowing what to put in your mouth, knowing what to put in your spirit, knowing what to put in your mind to experience optimal health in all areas, because that's, I see that not taking place.
Okay. Yeah. So going back to signature talk, this, you know, this releasing health, you would want that to be more of a public talk that you could tweak, tailor to, if it's church leaders, you know, if it's a bunch of moms, whoever it might be, that you could tailor it.
Yep.
But that you could expand that into, because it really is about releasing health. It's releasing, you know, the God-given whatever, health enhancement, the natural healer within, all that. And a lot of folks get caught up with, you know, I see a lot of abusive things happening in people who are leading churches. You know, they're having the donuts and the coffee after every service and that sort of thing. It's like, yay, just take care of your spirit. We don't care about your body.
Yeah.
And you could be the one that opens that up to, wait a minute, you can't just care about their spirit. You got to care about the body.
Absolutely.
Right? And we have to take care of it, because it is it's a precious vehicle that we all got, right? And be able to talk to them.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And also in thinking about all that you just said, I do have upcoming, they want me to talk about healthy living for the Master Gardener group that I'm in. So they pretty much let me talk about whatever. So healthy living. So I'm going to put in some principles of releasing health there for that audience.
Yeah.
And then I also, now I'm talking about this, it'll be good to go ahead and start working on this, because my public library that's right up the street has asked me to start doing something like once every month or every other month, because I've done some talks for them and there's been a request for me to come and do that. So yeah, I'll work on that.
Yeah. So your signature talk would be kind of your lead in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you'd have other talks on different topics.
Yes.
That would tie into it.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's, I want to come back to that. I want to see what Annette, some ideas from Annette, and then we can expand on like where do you start in creating the signature talk?
Okay.
If you're clear. Annette's real clear on her.
Okay.
On her audience, right? So,
yes.
What, you know, given that's your audience, what kind of signature talk could you give that's gonna like really hit them where they need to be hit and help them to be able to make a decision to move into your programs and other things?
Right. And obviously, I need to start with the saga. The tear-jerking saga.
Yeah, we always have that. Our story is a huge part of it. Yeah.
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 And, you know, really, you know, while I need to explain the damage that's caused, but it needs to be done in a gentler way as opposed to in their face, because I'm just going to lose them. right? Because they're going to get defensive, and my doctor said. And I went back and I did change the caregiver's guide over to Word.
Okay.
It was a work there. It took a while. And I made a couple changes in it as I was working on it. Just kind of softened what I said. And I know now I'm going to have to go back and do that. Because if I want to get the mainstream parents, I can't hit them over the head with the stick too hard. You know?
But you do have to hit them over the head with the stick hard enough to wake them up.
Right, right. So I've got
to. So how do you feel like you could do that? How can you do that in a way that still gets them to see, oh my gosh, I need to take action, versus, oh, this lady's a kook, I'm going back to my doctor.
I mean, you know, I can say, yes, it worked for us. But it's because you have to tell them, you know, I have to remind them that ultimately they're in charge, not the doctor. They need the doctor. It needs to be a teamwork. But, you know, people are like, oh, my endo won't do what I want. And I'm like, so fire the endo and get a new one. You pay the bill. You write the check.
Right.
But get the endo that'll work with you. You know, my daughter, she lives in Texas. She goes to a guy in Alabama because he'll write the prescriptions that she needs written. He just pulls out the pad and goes, what do you want today? And he writes it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Medical deity that doesn't feel like they're a medical deity.
He does, but he's learned his way doesn't work for her. He's finally accepted standard diabetes care is not going to fix my kid. And I also have to be aware of that too. My kid's not a normal type 1.
But she's also more normal than you think. Okay, because the standard of care doesn't work for any of them. Honestly, it doesn't. Right. Even though they think it might, and it might keep them controlled, you know, the standard of measurement, if they're controlled, is what? Their A1C is below 7? Like, seriously, right? So the standard of care is...
Well, they're shifting away from the A1C.
Are they?
Because it's not sustainable. Because they're telling people stay above 180 all the time. So an A1C of less than 7 isn't sustainable. They're moving to more, it's going to be like called glucose in range.
Yeah, but 180 is, right.
But that'll be in range.
That's where
and then they'll feel good about themselves because they're in range most of the time.
This is the stuff that you need. These are the myth busters that you need to make.
Ooh, myth busters.
Yeah, this because you need to be a myth buster and go, okay, I understand this is what your doctor's telling you. Let's just look at the statistics. Let's just look at the danger. Let's just look at the decrease in danger when this your kid is under 120 versus between 140 and 180, right? So I think you need to be the bearer of the information and the stats and let them and keep look. I'll let you make your choice, but. This is, you know, the latest stuff. Even I think you posted a couple of people posted all in one day, two articles that I was like, whoa, they're actually saying that, postprandial glucose is the most important thing.
Right.
It was before they weren't talking about it. And continuous metering it, not just the 2 hour. Right. And so we've been saying this for a long time, but they're finally catching up and bringing that kind of stuff to the awareness. Is super important, right? And being able to maybe find some cases of, you know, Jody Stanislaw is a good example. She'll say, look, if I do this, then I need more insulin. I don't want to need more insulin. I want to need the minimum amount possible. So I've discovered that if I do this, if I get stressed, if I don't exercise for 2 days heavily, if I, you know, eat certain foods, and those are really good, that's really good information. So I think from your regard, if you're talking about having a gentler way of speaking this, you're going to need to pull up stats to show them, right? That they could take to their doctor and say, look, what about this? What about this study that said that? What about this study that said that? You know, I'm not a big fan of studies because I think we can fudge studies. We can make studies say whatever the heck we want. I like to look at the chemistry. I like to look at the, you know, the biology of what happens when we do this and what happens when we have elevated insulin for this long. Where are the other things that are damaging? And I think that a lot of that stuff, which I just found a paper, a talk I'm going to be doing next month for I don't even remember what the name of the group is, but it's a practitioner type group, a CME, it's a CME thing. And I have a whole page of resources I could actually share. I don't know if you have them, but I found, I have a whole page of resources on why, on the whole thing with insulin. Here we go. Oops, I moved it. Oh, well, I renamed it. That's right. Open. On the negative impact of insulin. And I can share that list of resources with you because, and they're, you know, they're not new because I wrote this presentation a couple of years ago, but insulin, here we go. Let's see if I can find it. I think it's at the, and by the way, you know, no matter where I'm talking, I use a lot of the same slides over and over again.
I do too. I recycle. I recycle mine.
Is this not? Wow. I forgot to change a couple of slides. Oh, well, I did all the change the slides to the new format thing. And it looks like I missed a couple. It was like 2 a.m. by the time I finished last night. So I was like, okay, I'm done.
I've actually created in Word, I could just call it extra slides. And if I create
a slide, that's a great idea.
And then I don't like it in that talk, I move it into the extra slide pile.
I like that.
For later.
Yeah, that's great. The repository.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Slide repository. Okay, here it is. I'll just share my screen. Sit back here with the. Here we go. So this is a group of things, references for the dangers of insulin. What's the best way to give it to you? So can I could save it as a picture, right? I could save this as a picture.
I did a screenshot.
Oh, you got a screenshot? Okay, good. Perfect.
I muted and did a screenshot. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. You got it.
And then sat there telling you I took a screenshot while I was muted.
Oh,
I don't think you heard me.
I don't know how many of these are ones you haven't seen yet, but there's my, let me pull this out of the way, references. And there was this talk is on, this talk is on the autoimmunity related to even type 2 diabetes. Can I switch sides? I have another one for you if you want that.
Okay, I got them both. Thanks.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I had this whole bunch of stuff here on, let me see, it's my standard fitness, what to do, but yeah, these are the two slides I didn't change. I'm like, oh, what happened? Because I just got tired. Where's the thing?
Yeah.
There was, it's back further where I'm talking about the.
Did you get that link to that meter I sent you?
No. Which one?
It looks like that. I think I sent it to you in Messenger. It looks like that meter that you liked that you can't get anymore.
Oh.
It has a different name.
Oh, when did you send it?
It's been in the past week, but it looks identical. I wonder if they just brought it back out under a different name.
That would be so good hearing that. Okay, let's see. There's a Zoom.
I can go back and look for it. It would have been after our Zoom call. I'll go back and look.
Yeah, resend it because it didn't come through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or it might have been in an email. I'll go back and find it and resend it. Because anyway, it looks like that true to go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, there's a true metrics that looks like that. And it's really crappy. but maybe there is a good one.
And a friend called me yesterday and shared that a family friend had been on mega doses of prednisone. And I think I need to start talking about this more too, because it keeps coming up. And the woman lives in Phoenix and was found out at the pool, which she normally wouldn't do. She'd been unconscious for 4 or 5 hours, so she had 4th-degree burns. They got her to the hospital. She was in DKA, which would have been, was brought on by the prednisone. And I think that's because people just pop.
They pop it, right? They think it's just the way we go, right?
And no one's following up. The woman died between the DKA and the 4th-degree burns. She didn't make it.
Oh, so awful. No, I think I like your way of introducing these things in a gentle way, but I think you do have to hit them over the head with a sledgehammer to see that, you know, like a story like that, right? Even though the doctors are working in your best interest, they're working with outdated information and they're not working at the full picture. And you can listen to your doctor, and I recommend you listen to your doctor when it comes regards to prescriptions, but in terms of actually changing your child's outcome, there's more, and you need to empower yourself to do it. And if I didn't empower myself to do this, my daughter wouldn't be in the state she's in right now, right? Is she a normal, you know, she's not a normal type one because normal others are not doing what she's doing. It's not that she has some physiological special whatever. It's that she's taken charge, which most of them don't. And she's actually doing nutritional things to minimize her need for insulin, right? And staying away from the stuff that hurts. So I think that you do a disservice to think, well, she's not a normal.
Well,
you know,
I really,
yours can be that way too.
I really think she's a 1.5. I've never thought she was a 1. That's why I'm real clear to say diagnosed as a type 1.
Yeah, she might be, you know. She might. A lot of them are usually misdiagnosed as a 2.
Right.
But because of, you know.
Type 1 allows me wiggle room on insurance. I mean, same type 1, so I don't argue it.
Right. But, you know, looking at her, she's still making insulin. Mm-hmm. But she's also, you know, in her 20s. So she... I don't know. You just have to look at it. I mean, does she have signs of insulin resistance as well as...
Only around her period.
Only around her period, yeah.
Or when
her, how high is her insulin levels, her fasting insulin?
She's a little high right now. She's probably in like the 120s right now.
Her fasting insulin.
Oh, I haven't done fasting insulin in a while.
Yeah.
But she will... She's going to... When she's coming back today and we need to get blood work, I need to order her blood work. And because even though the doctor's in Alabama, if he orders it, insurance won't cover it because she lives here.
So
I order it and he's fine with me ordering it. And I always order stuff he never orders. So he was pretty excited. I did a C-peptide.
How novel.
Yeah, I know. He's like, wow, you really do still make insulin. So,
whether she's a 1.5 or a 1, it's still autoimmune.
Right, it is.
And it's still got a lot of that same. The thing about a 1.5 is they've got some of the, you know, characteristics of 2 as well as 1, but it's still, you know.
Right. I also want to do a GAD again on her this year.
Yeah. All right. So as far as signature talk, this would be something for you to be able to do at some of these conventions. That do people go? Do parents go to any conferences about diabetes for their kids?
Yes. There's a group we just found out about. Something with friends. I don't remember. And they meet. They've got their big conference once a year. And we're going to go this year to check it out.
Good.
But then they do many ones in different areas of the country throughout the year. So, yes, parents do go to these things. They have JDR, now see, JDRF probably won't want me. But JDRF, pardon me?
Because
they line up food-wise with the ADA, the American Diabetes, and I don't. But JDRF has their little things.
See, but that's the myth you've got to bust.
I know.
That's the stuff that you're up against. And that's the stuff where if you can come up with a powerful talk that's powerfully documented, that has great references and physiologic references and cases, right? So doing this program is going to be helpful. But, you know, when you actually get some more people and you can get some testimonials. But that's what your signature talk needs to hit. It needs to bust some of these myths, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then your signature talk, Valerie, is about, you know, it's releasing health. It's not creating health. It's releasing it because it's all in there. We've just been locking it up because of our habits. And it has to be a signature talk needs to get people like shifting a paradigm shift. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I hadn't heard that before, right?
Okay.
I hadn't heard that before. I hadn't heard it said quite that way. So that it gets people motivated and inspired to change. Not necessarily empowered to change, because that's going to take more work with them to give them the tools and the resources, but maybe a little empowered, like one or two things they walk away with. And you say, just do this for a week. You know, like leaving people with a what do you do now, right? So your signature talk, you know, first of all, it's what is it that's going to get people to really think about things differently. And then you're going to incorporate stories throughout, right? So you always want to start with a story. It's nice if you can start with a story that you don't finish, or you start with a story that starts in the middle. And then somewhere later on, you go back and you tell the beginning of the story. And at the end, you tie it together. And so one thing that I was taught into putting together, and I absolutely love this, is this phrase that you, it's at the end of your talk, you like almost summarizes it, powerfully puts it together. And it's like a phrase that you have a beginning and then a different ending, a beginning, a different ending, and a final beginning, and either, you know, just the beginning or beginning and an ending that sits, right? So it's like, for me, I came up with, every choice matters in how you look, how you feel, and how bubble. I don't even remember exactly. Every choice matters, and then a bunch of stuff. And then I ended with every choice matters. And it's powerful because you have that repetition. So think about that. I forget what he called it, the guy I studied with. Anyway. But something along those lines. The other thing for helping you to put together a signature talk is to just sit down with thinking about your life, like going back over your life to different stories that you could tell about different parts of your life. You know, maybe some stuff that happened to you as a kid, or a place where you stood up and took a stand as a kid, you know, that reflects on who you are right now and the power of your commitment right now. And just kind of go through your life, and for your signature talks, you can just pull a story here, a story there, a line here, a line there that can be tied in. And I sat with that a while back, and I was like, what do I have? And my life is boring. I didn't get beat. I didn't get raped. I didn't have any really bad stuff happen to me. But then as I went through and I wrote stuff down, but what came out of a conversation, a brainstorm that I was doing with somebody was a story that I ended up telling. I think I told it at Shine, where it was my birthday. Oh, it was 4 days before my birthday. It was Easter. And it was like, my mom ended our conversation. I'll talk to you on your birthday, and I'll see you in a couple of months, and blah, blah, blah. And then that was it. I never got to talk to her again, never got to see her again. And it was all about that whole, the through line of, you know, don't put off what you need now and what you want to do now. Do it now, because you may not have that future. And I never occurred to me that was a principle that guided me in a lot of decisions from there, not on a conscious level even, but on a subconscious level. So if you just take like a half an hour and just sit down and jot through and start with, you know, your first conscious memories of, you know, when you were four. Like, I have a story that endears me to my grandfather, and we were walking along the avenue and my mother was in the hospital giving birth to my second sister, and I was with him and my other sister was with the other grandparents, and there was this doll in the window of the thing, and I was 2 years old, so this doll in the window, and then, you know, I was like, oh, it's so cute, you know, on and on. And then after my sister was born, you know how they try to bribe the older kids into not feeling jealous by giving them a gift. Everybody's giving gifts to the baby. And my grandfather came in with that doll and gave me that. You know, I don't know if I'll ever use that in anything or what that relates to, but just remembering that story, you know, and maybe it's the thing about people noticing, right? Or I don't know, I'll figure out a way to use it at some point when it makes sense. But when you go through and you have like an inventory of all these different kind of stories in your life that you can just pull and pick and pull and pick, it can be really, really helpful. Really helpful, right? And when you think about your signature story, what are the key points you want to get across, whether you have 10 minutes or 3 days? Like, what are those guiding principles? So for you, Annette, what would be like three things that you want to absolutely impart to these parents about their care for their diabetic children?
Get the CGM, change the food, and exercise, movement.
Okay. So that's some things you want to weave in. And you weave that in with story, depending on how much time you have. You can tell longer or shorter stories, right? And you can tie all the things in. So that's great, right? Those are three things, no matter whether you have 10 minutes, whether you're just talking to somebody in a parking lot, to get across those points. And how do you get those points across really succinctly and powerfully? And then how do you expand on it to, you know, to really give them powerful tools they can use when you have more time? What about you, Valerie? What are three points?
De-stress, good food, good movement.
We have a theme. I think regardless of, you know, those are things that we all want to get across. Because when I came through and I was trying to do my signature talk, I'm like, what are those three points? What are those three things, right? And it was, I had M's, mindset, movement, and meals. So I wanted it to be the three. So it's the same as what you just said, right?
Okay.
Mindset, movement, and meals. So how do you say it in such a way that they're not hearing the same old, that, you know, in your way and tying it in to your through line? And your through line is what, like, what is that guiding principle that makes you who you are, right? What is that guiding belief? Like for me, is similar to yours, is this intrinsic ability of the body to heal, just get out of its way, right? It's all right there. But how do you say that in a way that people hear rather than just, oh, make me change my diet, right? Everybody wants to make me change my diet, but you're going to say it in such a way that it hits as to why, right?
Okay.
You know, whether it becomes related, like analogies are always good metaphors, right? I always relate to the car and the gas station, you know, go to the gas station and, oh, today I think I'll put jelly beans in my car. My car needs a, you know, just throw some jelly beans in. That's fuel. It's not fuel for your car. Quite frankly, they're not fuel for your body either, or your kids either, and they don't belong there, right? Yeah, we all deserve to have some treats, but why don't we figure out how to please the palate and please the body at the same time, right? So different things as you sit down and come up with lines you've used or lines that have resonated with you to help people to actually get it, like in their system. I heard from, and this was all from Alex reinforcing this with me, but I heard from somebody the other day who was at Shine. It was so cool the way you just kept repeating those things. And we all got it after a while. It was those five things, you know, the connect, assess, plan, obstacles, and reassess. And I started it that way, just very casually, but we just kept repeating it. And by the end, everybody knew you got to do those five things, right? And the more I went through it, I went, those five things apply to a lot more than just being a health practitioner and what we do, right? It applies to, looking at your finances, right? Creating a plan for your kid to succeed in school, right? Before you get them to do anything, you got to connect with them. Then you have to see where they're at. Then you have to create a plan for them. Then you got to get the lollipops and the, you know, and whatever, the interferences out of the way. And then you go, okay, did this work? What do we do to tweak it? So, but the fact that I repeated it throughout so many times really helped. And so what is a phrase or a set of statements or some way that you can put something that you repeat in different segments throughout your talk so that if they walk away with nothing else, they're going to walk away with those three to, you know, could be five, but three things could be fine. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to make, it's a signature talk. It's called that because it's your signature and your signature is unique and you don't want to give the same signature talk that everybody else is, even though we're all coming from the same place, guys. You got to move. You got to have the right attitude. You've got to eat right. But we're all saying it and signing it in a different way. And so if you think about your signature talk as like your signature, this talk says Valerie. This talk says Annette, right? And this is how I present it. It's different from how I present it. You know, sometimes I do tend to be blunt in your face and, you know, hitting you over the head with a hammer, right? And Annette's way is going to, because she knows her audience, right? It's going to be a little different. You're working with a lot of church people, right? So you're going to talk to church people differently than you're going to talk to people who are the soccer moms,
mm-hmm.
right? And what is that signature talk and what is that theme? If you were to come up with like one of those phrases, I forget what he calls them. They were a really cool name for those phrases where you go, like for mine was every choice matters, every choice matters, every choice matters. What could you, is there anything off the top? I know it may take some time.
Well, there's a couple of things that I find myself repeating whenever I do share. If you change nothing, nothing will change. And then unlock and unblock to release.
So that, I like that if you change nothing as one of these repeaters, because, okay. You know, you can probably come up with an ending. If you change nothing, nothing will change. Your health will continue to deteriorate okay. at the same rate it's deteriorating now. If you change nothing, nothing will change. You'll still greet each day with the pessimism or whatever, you know, or you'll still overwork each day and not be able to build health. You'll be breaking it down. So that's something that could be,
okay.
that could be, you know, figure out some endings for it.
Okay.
You can repeat. Unlock and unblock. That's kind of a memorable phrase that could be repeated several places throughout the program. You know, throughout your talk, unlock okay. and unblock.
Okay.
Give me an example of how you would use that.
Unlock. I'm trying to remember how I've used that before. Unlock. Oh, where did I say that? Unlock. One of the things I just remember, unlock and unblock to live, work, play, be you. Unlock. That one's a little more challenging unless it just kind of happens.
It might just spontaneously happen. And you
yeah.
just kind of pay attention. Think about though, as you said that unlock and unblock and then a phrase at the end, but you can also have it be unlock X to unblock Y.
Okay.
Right. Unlock your, unlock your confidence to unblock your, I don't know, I have to sit with it.
Yeah,
but think of it that way too, right? Unlock X to unlock Y. And that could be a good repeat thing. And people will start to think about unlock this to unblock that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unlock your fear of criticism to unblock your artistic tendencies, right?
Okay.
That kind of thing. Because so many people are sitting there, I'm not going to write or draw or whatever because somebody's going to criticize me because I'm not as good as Rembrandt and I'm not as good as Mozart and whatever. And that blocks their creativity. So that could be good stuff in there. And then locking, you know, tying some things that people don't necessarily tie to their health,
mm-hmm.
right? To tie those things together. So they may not be tying their confidence to their health, right? They may not be tying the fact that, you know, the extra 20 pounds or the fatigue or the wrinkles or whatever it else it is that they're like dealing with that they don't want is actually preventing them from doing something else that could be making a huge difference in them. You know, like speakers, mm-hmm. for example, somebody's a really powerful speaker, but they're sitting in a body that's overweight or they don't like, you know, the rash that they have. Like when you had a rash, you can mm-hmm. that you don't want anybody to see you. And mm-hmm. so that's locking inside of you this potential to really change the world. So, you know, don't be afraid to do the apples to oranges metaphors.
Okay. Okay. One of the things I just recalled while you were saying that, when I was, had first met Tony and whenever I was working with her, and we went through these different channels, I came up with surrogate no more because for me, I was actually feeling blocked because I didn't realize that I was carrying so much of other people. So I got to the point where I said, I'm not going to be a surrogate. So I came up with surrogate no more. No more carrying fear because of what you feel I should be doing. No more caring. And actually, I found that I was actually a little bit angry. Never considered myself to be an angry person, but just to hold that frustration from what people said or what people thought, I was being a surrogate to unhealthy emotions. So that's really what where the unlock and unblock came. I realized that I was carrying negative emotions that was actually causing my body to express imbalance. Does that make sense?
No, totally. And I don't think people make those connections,
mm-hmm.
right? So with the emotions and how it manifests in the body, and it's a great metaphor for, yeah. So I would play with those things.
Okay. That's helpful. Okay.
Before you sit down and start making slides, there's a lot of little other things to prep. For creating, yeah, what you need to do. Yeah, just sit down and do slides, yeah.
Okay.
Well, sometimes you can unlock your creativity by sitting in front of a PowerPoint, too. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to do because I tend to go that way as well.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right.
What about you, Annette? Are there any phrases, any things that you think that, you know, you either have said or could be saying and incorporating to have the repetition, right? That helps them to go from the beginning to the end of your story and that they at least walk away with something that you've repeated enough that is catchy.
I don't know because I've never gone back and listened to any of my talks. I keep saying I'm going to. So I don't really know if there's something I'm saying over and over. I know I always talk about how diabetes affects the whole family.
Yeah.
Because it does. And I've shortened that because, you know, now people are having traumas and dramas about the word diabetic. So it's like we kind of try to avoid using that word when I can.
Using the word diabetic?
You're a person with diabetes. You're not a diabetic.
Oh, right, right. That whole thing. That's, well, because you are not your diagnosis, right?
Right.
You are not a diabetic. You are not a arthritic. Right? You are a person who has an experience. And I like the word instead of has, but like experiencing or, you know, it's like this, like I say to I said this, I think at China, but I've said this to people before. Somebody says, how are you? Right. And people say, I'm tired, I'm in pain or whatever. That is an I am statement, which is very, you know, there and permanent versus I feel, which is transient. So if I do have an experience where I am feeling tired, I don't want to say, oh, I'm tired today. No, I'm not tired. I'm always me. I'm Rita Marie, right? I'm a vibrant, healthy person who happens to feel tired today because I didn't get enough sleep the night before, because I was, you know, exposed and on an airplane for 22 hours. So I think that that's a good thing to say, not talking about a diabetic. And I think that that's a good thing to be running through your stuff. Don't identify with your disease. Don't identify your child with the disease.
When you were talking about don't feed the car jelly beans, and you were talking about finding a story, my dad actually has a gas powered car and went and put diesel in it. Yeah. So I'm seeing the slides in my head of, you know, cartoon guy dad putting gas in the car, and because I can use that as a,
this is what happens when you feed the wrong fuel. We actually lost a car that way, and it was not that we put the wrong fuel in, because we both went back and went, no, the pump was, you know, the pump was mislabeled or something. But, you know,
my dad managed to get the thing into the car.
Because we went back and he's like, how could I have gotten this? It doesn't fit. And yeah. And it goes like, it spittles and it, you know.
No, my dad managed to get it in there. Nobody knows how. He started driving away and the car was like,
yeah, I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. Yeah. Right. So that's a great, that's a great thing. And when you give your child who has diabetes, who needs more careful attention to food, you know, the same food as people who are not sick, you know, and it makes them worse faster, and not saying that every kid should have jelly beans, but right.
There's a time for jelly beans. You know, there's when your kid's going really, really low and.
Oh, right. Okay. If you have nothing else to give them and you need to get them out of a coma. Yeah. Whatever you have.
But you know, and then my kid's going to be like, no, when you're that low, you can't chew. But you know, if a jelly bean's what I have, I'm mashing the jelly bean up and I'm shoving it all over.
I remember shoving a corn chip in my kid, you know, he was up and down, you know, hypoglycemia, you know, whenever he didn't eat enough, and he would get cranky and irritable and he'd be storming off. And one day I just went up to him and I said, open your mouth. And I just shoved some food in his mouth. And he goes, oh, I guess my blood sugar was low. Sorry, mommy.
So, but they don't need the jelly beans every day.
No. So it's an emergency food. It's an emergency food.
Not looking at it that way. Yeah. And that paradigm needs to shift.
Well, your other one with swap and what is it? Eat and cover is a good
eat
one.
Eat and cover.
Is that a common phrase that's used though?
Or is it? Oh, they know that one. Yeah.
They know that one.
Yeah.
But see, I would look at all the different techniques and things they use and see if you can come up with a unique phrase that could be yours. That could be your signature for, and they hear it and they go, oh yeah, I learned that from Annette.
Eat, cover, and spike. Oh, I'm sorry.
But maybe not related to that particular thing, but I'm just saying in terms of what you're teaching them, like some principle, that some way of phrasing it that you can just, that'll get it across. Maybe it's a metaphor. You know, a metaphoric kind of a statement that they get, right? That they get. Like I use the pulling the battery out of the smoke detector all the time. And people get that, right? Oh yeah, I would never do that. Well, you're doing it all the time in your body. When you take aspirin, when you get a headache, or take Tums when you get a stomach ache, you're not looking at what the root cause is. And that fire is burning nonetheless. So, you know, something that you can become known as. There's certain ones like my pyramid, right? People have seen that, they see it over and over, and now they get it, you know? So what is it that you can come up with, like a picture or a phrase, a metaphor that you're going to get known for?
Okay.
Yeah. And that's where the signature, that becomes, you know, your signature talk, your signature approach, you know, it's because there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, we don't have anything new or different. Right? It's just how we apply it, right? I call it postprandial glucose mapping. But, you know, it's basically, well, I guess nobody was ever doing that before, but testing, you know, on regular basis to map it out. Now we have CGMs to do the same thing, right? But what is it that you can be doing or saying in such a way that people are going to, it's memorable and they're going to associate it with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you come up with, what do you want to say? You know, and how would I say it in 10 minutes? So in 10 minutes, you're going to have a lot less stories, but you still have to have a story. You still have to have an opening and closing story, but it's shorter. Right? And your points are going to be shorter. Like if you have more time, you have plenty of time to have those points, you know, 3 to 5 points that you're elaborating on throughout. But it still should really be 3 to 5 points, because when you get over 5 points, they're not going to remember 7 or 9 or 12, but they'll remember 3 or 5.
Okay.
Right. And the what, the lengthening of it is how much you can give them in each one. You know, the what, the why, the how. When you have 10 minutes, you can't give them much in the way of how. You barely can get into why. It's just really a lot of the what. But, you know, what, a little why, and then how comes later, or one little how as a, okay, I want to leave you with this one thing. Here's what I want you to do over the next week with what you've learned here. So that's a good thing to leave people with as well. You know, and there's a lot of stuff to remember, and you're not going to remember it every time. And every time you go, oh, I forgot to say, oh, I forgot to put that part in, or, oh, I left that part out. Darn. I'll do it better next time.
Yeah. Okay.
You just always keep in mind what you want them to, how you want them to think, feel, and behave when they leave your class. What do you want to shift in how they feel, think, and behave? And if you can come up with those three, then you say, how do I weave this throughout? And then the through line, you know, what you're taking it through, right? Your through line being, it's all inside of you. You just have to get out of your way and release it, right? And your through line being, what would you say your through line is, Annette?
I mean, right now I keep using diabetes affects the whole family. But obviously I'm gonna have to come up with something, because I use that kind of to wrap it up, because it's not just of them that's fighting this battle. And it's a battle we fight every day.
Mm-hmm. But there's more. I think your through line is deeper than that. Yeah, it affects the whole family. That's more of a statement. But what's that belief that underlies it?
That I can fix my kid, but I can't say that.
No, you can't say it that way. But that each of us as parents has the ability to change the outcome for their child. We each have the ability to change the outcome, and you have way more ability than you think. So it's the same thing. I can fix my kid, but it's more like, you know, it's an outcome. I mean, you may come up with a more sexy way to say it, but we all have that power to for ourselves. And if you're talking to caregivers, caretakers, it's, I guess caregivers is a better word. Caretaker, taker imply, you know, taking away, giving it, this way. So caregivers versus you're independent, right? It's empowering, you're empowering parents to change the outcome for their children, and you're empowering individuals to change the outcome for themselves. But also when you talk about your church, your leaders, your church leaders, you're empowering the leaders to empower their congregations. Right? But it's mostly about empowering, giving them the tools they need to be able to change the outcome for themselves or for their communities or for their families. Right. So we talk to leaders, we're talking about helping their communities. So we talk to parents, we're helping them to change their families. And we're talking to individuals, it's empowering them to change themselves. And then there's always that impact that changing yourself has, or improving yourself has, upon your entire community and the world. I just had this picture. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. You know, a picture comes in and then it goes away. And you're like, would you stay just a little while and I could capture you and see what you're related to? But it was a, you know, the circle with the thing on it. And I don't know where it was going. You know, kind of like that. We are one continuous, right? We're all one. We're all one. And what we do impacts everybody else, and what everybody else does impacts us. And well, don't we all want to have that really positive impact on the planet, on other people, on ourselves, on our families, and on the world that we're going to, you know, leave to the next generation? And what connects it all is care. Self-care, world care, family care. I mean, it's caring. I don't know. That's just what popped in my head. I don't know what to make of it at this point, but I just thought I'd throw it out there in case it was helpful. Does this help?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Well, how are we doing on time?
Yes.
Okay, we're good.
Yes.
Good. You know, we have, I believe is a good thing to incorporate a lot in there, right? I believe this, I believe that. And I believe that we all have been like placed in this position that we are, you know, to help others. We're here for a reason, right? We're here and we have a mission, and it's up to us to fulfill that mission, not to say, oh, it's too hard, I don't want to do it. Because I think it's something that's been ordained on us. And we don't have the choice to say no, right? We don't really have the choice to say no.
I didn't want to do diabetes, and then it came and hit me upside the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we just have to take it and take it where it goes and see who it can help with it.
Valerie, can I share something with you?
Sure. Yes.
Samantha and I went to that certified diabetes educator conference in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a CDE that worked for the Cleveland Clinic. And okay. At this point, because I could, this is something you might want to share, like during this 3-day training or maybe in smaller groups at your church, but she would have this CDE had a group she was working with, and they would share meals together. And the first meal was just bring something from home that you normally eat. And, you know, they came, you know, you could do it at church, wherever. And they came together and they just talked about their food.
Okay.
And they took their blood sugar before they ate. And then together they all did some postprandial. And then they continued that when they got home and they reported back to the group. And then the next time they got together for lunch, she was like, she would change things. It might be, okay this time make sure you add a side salad or a green vegetable. One time it was bring traditional food, and she never judged anybody, even when the guy brought ribs, jello, and something else that was equally carby. But it was just, let's talk about how you feel after you eat this meal. And towards the end of the program, they all started just bringing healthier food in and talking about how they felt.
I like that.
And they were losing weight. But there was nobody ever went, what the hell did you bring that Snickers bar for? They would talk about the Snickers bar and how you felt after you ate it. And let's look at the nutritional info on it. So that might be something you can work with. You know, maybe it's, hey, we're having coffee and donuts. Have some glucometers, you know, something.
Okay.
Right. So that you give them the opportunity and the space and the education to really see the impact on their body. And they kind of, we don't have to tell them necessarily what to do. They kind of figure it out.
Yeah. She never told them. It was just, she let them get there.
I like that.
Yeah. And they talked about, you know, the importance of, you know, eating good food, but she never was like, don't show up here with Jell-O and Snickers again. And she said the other people kind of got to the point, because it was a group of type twos, and the other one were kind of like, come on, you can do better than that. But one guy, they interviewed a guy after, and he said she also had a scale of how hungry you are.
Oh.
Zero was like starving, and 10 was I'm super full. And this guy who got the most out of the program, he was actually a really cool guy. he said, as long as I wait, he goes, I eat to a 7 or an 8. And if I stop at 7 or 8, I'm satiated, I'm full, and I'm losing weight, and my numbers are coming down. Mm. So he focused more on how he felt when he was eating, yeah, instead of, I can't have that cake, but I'll have extra salad. He goes, I can have the cake. I can't eat past. If I'm full, then I can't, yeah, have the cake.
I can't have it. Right.
Yeah.
And the 7 to 8 is great because, you know, 15 minutes later, you're at a 10 if you're at a 7 and 8.
Right.
That's good.
And do you have one in the other direction? Like he'll won't let himself go down to 0, but does he let himself
if they
go
didn't talk, 1 or 2? You know, yeah, it was like
that would be an interesting thing to like an experiment to do with a group.
Yeah.
Is to see what happens. Like sometimes I go down to the other day I went down to a -2. I was a little bit almost fainted on my show, but that there would be a buffer there. Like don't go down to a 0. Like right, really let yourself do that a couple of times so you know what it feels like as long as you're in a safe place, but don't let yourself go there because that's when you lose control. That's when you can't control what you put in. You don't have any, you know, but if you get yourself down to a 2, you go, I think I should probably eat now. Yeah. I like that scale
thing. I do. I like that.
I like that scale thing a lot.
Yeah. That was one of the best talks that we saw there. And that's the one that really stuck with me the most was how she did this lunch with these people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh. That's really awesome.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
No, I've got lots of ideas and I'm seeing PowerPoints and things that I've done that I can pull together to create this, at least a draft of it, yeah, and get this really started. Yeah, this has been helpful.
Good. Awesome. What about you, Annette? Good.
Yes, it's been real helpful, and I'm going to go work on my dad pumping gas slide.
I like it.
I love it.
I want to capture it while it's fresh in my head, right? And then I can stick it in the... You know.
Yeah, and I'll use it later. Like, yeah, that's great. I like the idea of that. I have an idea for a slide. I had envisioned when you said that of instead of a real person, like a cartoon character,
that's what I'm thinking.
Animal, you know, yeah, like a cat or a dog, yeah, or something. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do it as a funny thing.
Yeah.
The humor in it of my dad, because if you know my dad, you're just like, oh God, yeah. Like my stepmother sent me a text and she's like, I'm mad at your father. You need to ask him why. So I send him a text. I'm like, I hear Sarah's mad at you. Why? And he goes, oh, that's because I put diesel in the car. He goes, and now I don't have a car. I'm like, way to go, Dad.
Sorry, way to go.
But you know, everybody that knows my dad, when I tell them that story, they're like, yeah, okay. That's your dad.
That's your, yeah. But it's a great story and it's a great analogy for the food, yeah, thing, right? So,
but I got it because you said jelly beans.
Yeah. 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 Wow. It didn't occur to me. Yeah. The whole difference between diesel and regular. Yeah. Cool. I love this hunger scale. I'm going to be playing around with that. Right.
Yeah.
Because if you get down to 0, I know what happens to people. They just lose all their self-control, goes out the window, and they just grab whatever's there. Right.
Yeah. And this guy, I mean, and he was like, he goes, all I do is work on my scale, my hunger scale.
Yeah.
He goes, and wow, everything else falls into place.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that.
I like it. I've been thinking a lot about a plate too. You know how they have the plates?
Yeah.
As to getting somebody to do a graphic thing of, you know, a plate, figuring out your ideal. You know, it'd be really cool. I just thought of this, is a plate that has movable things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, for you, it might be 80% of your plate is vegetables. For somebody else, it may be 50%, but they need more fat or, right? Some kind of a thing that has little movable.
There's a company that's doing plates but it's more, it's instead of being the ugly plate that most of them are, it actually looks like regular dishware, mm-hmm, but it's got firm dividers in it so that you stick to portion control.
Oh.
I'll find the name and send it.
There's a guy that came to Shine that said they were working, his company was working on one where it's like a built-in scale kind of thing with the plate, which I said, you know, I think you're good to talk to Susan Pierce Thompson because she makes everybody weigh things, but to give people a sense of how much each compartment weighs when they put in their food for portion control as well. So there's a lot of interesting things, but I wonder if there's a way to maybe make several graphics. If I'm thinking of it in terms of graphics where, you know, this is Annette's plate. This is Valerie's plate. This is Susie's plate. What's the difference between them? Well, how they tolerate all of their different macros and what they really need to keep themselves balanced. And really, you're the only one that's going to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right. See you soon.